So we have this debate of Rav Bibi. The basic case is like this. There's an issur d'oraisa of baking on Shabbos. Okay? There's an issur d'rabbanan of if you, for instance, have something, the way they used to bake is, or one of the ways they used to bake, I guess, would be they take these big balls of dough, throw them, smack them onto the wall of the oven, and they would cook, and then they'd have a special way, the conclusion of the process would be to take a special type of a knife and peel them off of the walls of the oven. And that would be the conclusionary step in the bishul, in the afia process. Okay, it doesn't actually bake the bread, though. It's already baked. You're peeling it off of the oven. But midrabbanan, they answered that. That's exer midrabbanan, that if, simple child, if you do that, you'll come to doing the afia itself. Okay, so midrabbanan is called rediyas hapas. Rediyas hapas is the process by which they peel the bread off the oven, and that's nisim midrabbanan. It's a shvas. Okay. So the problem is, the question is let's assume someone on purpose, let's say, puts bread in the oven on Shabbos, throws it onto the wall. Okay, now, if he leaves the bread in all the way until the conclusion of the baking, he's going to be chayav over nisud deraisa. He's over nisud deraisa because he's baking bread. If, on the other hand, he peels it off prior to the baking, so he's not going to violate nisud deraisa, but that's also in the rabbanan. Okay, so the question is a guy allowed to do that? To the Rabbana and Matir, there is, sir, in order to prevent the guy from violating the Issa D'Oraisa, or do you say no? The Issa D'Rabbana is in full force, and therefore the guy, therefore you gotta basically, you're stuck violating the D'Oraisa. And that's Rav Bibi Zivaya. Okay? Do the Rabbana, so to speak, maintain their Issa of peeling the bread off in an instance where it will lead to a violation of the Issa D'Oraisa. So far, so good? So now the question was as far. So we said last time, so that's what I mean. On the surface, one would argue, let's just give the first surface argument. So the surface one would argue that the whole purpose of the Rabbanon is to protect the D'Oraisa. And then here, by their keeping the D'Rabbanon, it's actually going to lead to the violation of the D'Oraisa. So therefore, the first argument that comes to your mind is that definitely you should be able to violate it in this instance. Okay? On the other hand, we said, is that after all, the D'Rabbanon is a law, and given that there's a halacha, you can't just start violating halacha. So it's true the reason why they set it up is in order to take the D'Oraisa, but bottom line is right now there's necessary D'Rabbanan to peel the thing off. And what right do you have to break the law? Okay, it's a law. Well, the D'Rabbanan came along and set a new yeshivas bezdin and said that and knocked off the gzera in that case, or they built into the law that it doesn't apply in that case. It's hard to say. I mean, this is a funny case that everybody's creating. In general, the guy's not going to do a fiyah on Shabbos. It's not. So it's a funny case. So the question is, so given that it is a law, by what right does a person have to violate it in this instance? Okay, so those are just the arguments. So the svara we said is as follows. That the question is, when you say that every Darabanan, or at least let's take a shvas, a Darabanan which is there as a gather, as a protection of the Torah, the question is the protection quality of the Isser, is that just the reason why the Darabanan make the Isser? Is that the reason why they make it? Or do you say that it's actually part of the very character of the law itself? The law is protect the D'Oraisa through not taking the bread off of the oven. Okay, now is that actually part of the very character of the law itself to protect the Torah through not peeling bread off of the oven? Or you say, no, the law is you're not allowed to peel bread off of the oven. Why did they make such a law? Why did the Rabbanan make such a law? Yeah, because they're trying to protect the Torah. But that's the motivation. But the law is its own independent halakha construct, just like any other halakha structure. Okay? Or do you say, no, that it's intrinsic in the Rabbanan, they have no right to make an independent law, but any law that they have intrinsically has the halakha characteristic of being a gather. Okay, so is a gather the reason for it, or is that actually the halakha character of the law? So he said the difference is going to be is this case. So because if the reason why they made the law is to protect, but bottom line is, it's an independently existing law. So then, now you can't violate the law. Now what are you going to say? That the Rabbanan, the whole reason why they made the law is in order to protect, but now the reason doesn't apply. It's very nice in terms of the reason, but now a law is a law. And the law says you're not allowed to do it. So you can't just break it because the reason doesn't apply, because there's a halacha. You can't violate the halacha. So this is the Rabbanan. Ah, but if you say that the very halachic character of the law of the Shavos of the Rabbanan is a geder, a protection, so then in this instance you can't say that the law simply ceases to exist as a protection. You can't say, protect the Torah through not scraping off the thing. What do you mean? That's all the country. What do you say? Protect the Torah through violating a D'Oraisa? It can't be. So simply this instance creates undermines the very character of the law as being a protection. And since the binding character of the law is through the fact, through its nature, its very intrinsic nature, is a geder, the moment it ceases to be a geder, the law ceases to exist. And therefore, you basically, it's matir do. And the Isser can't exist in the circumstances if you say the halachic character of the law is as a geder. But again, if you say that that's the reason, but the law is just an independent existence, then the fact that the reason doesn't exist doesn't mean the law is going to fall away. That's what we said. So very good. Okay, perfect. So now the problem is, it's a very nice, simple question, right? It's good. Okay, the question is like this. Is now, the question is, the Gemara tries to apply this to our case. Because our case, the case at hand, okay, is if a guy sticks his hand, okay, fine, here we go. So there's an isser of both sides. You pick up an object in one rishos, put it in the other, move it to the other rishos, and put it down on the other rishos. If you do that entire process is yachayv deoraisa. That's an isser deoraisa. But if you just pick it up and transfer it across, it's only an isser derabanan. Okay, if you don't put it down, it's the beginning of the isser deoraisa. It's an isser derabanan. Now, Abaye wants to know is, do the Rabbanan penalize you for doing that, for that first half? What would be the form of the penalty? The form of the penalty would be that they force you to keep your hand there for the rest of Shabbos. Okay, they force you to keep your outstretched hand there for the rest of Shabbos. Abaye is wondering, do they do that or do they not do that? Okay, and the Gemara considers it, yes, no, maybe, whatever. Okay, now if the Gemara says, well, hold on one second, is why didn't anyone object to this whole consideration and say, doesn't this run into a Bibi's problem? Because if you force a guy to keep his hand there all Shabbos, there's a good chance that the guy is going to, by accident, drop it. It's going to get too hard, it's going to get too much for him. He's going to drop the thing. And if he drops the thing, he's going to violate his deoraisa. Because again, he picked it up on Shabbos, moved it across, and if he puts it down, it's his deraisa. Now, if he wanted to avoid the deraisa, he'd pull his hand back. Now, by causing him to leave his hand there, it's a good chance he's going to get too heavy or too much of a tircha, and the guy's going to drop it. And if he drops it, it's his deraisa. So here you have nisa derabanan, which is leading to a nisa deraisa. Okay? So how could this thing exist? If one side of Rabibi is correct, namely that nisa derabanan can't exist in a way that it will lead to the deraisa, then this kanas should never have gotten off the ground. But you see that this kanas did get off the ground, or at least when they were questioning this kanas, no one even raised that possibility. So it must be, the Gemara says, that Rabibi's Abaye is resolved, that really we don't care about that type of thing. The whole reason why these gederas are made, are the reason why is because of protection, but halachically, it's a law. A law is a law. You can't start bringing into account the deraisas. You can't bring deraisas into account when you're considering the Rabbanan. Bottom line is, Rabbanan is Rabbanan. And therefore, who cares about what it will lead to? Because, again, if it were the case that a Rabbanan had the character of a geder, and therefore it had to consider, you couldn't have it in a way that it would violate a deraisa, then they shouldn't have been able to consider this kanas, because this kanas will lead to a violation of a deraisa. Okay, that's the pshat in the Gemara. Okay, so this from the Gemara tries to say that from the discussion in the Beis Medrash about Abaye's Yibaya, you could resolve Rabibi's Yibaya. You could resolve that we don't have to consider the potential deraisa violation in the Derava. Okay, that's the pshat. Any questions? So we have a problem. So our problem is that the cases aren't comparable. Okay, David, you asked the problem. Okay, the problem is the cases aren't comparable. Because in the case of Rav Bibi, if you listen to the Rabbanan and you do not peel the thing off, peel the bread off, you are definitely 100% going to violate the deraisa. Because it's going to bake. What's going to happen? It's going to bake. It's in an oven, which is baking. So there, the question is do you violate the Rabbanan to avoid the definite deraisa? Okay? That's one question. But in our case, there's nothing which says the guy who is the outstretched hand has to drop the thing. He may drop it, maybe he will. Depends on how strong he is and how vigilant he is, or whatever it is. Maybe he will, maybe he won't. So I'll tell you that Rabibi's question is only where it will definitely lead to a violation of the deraisa. So that's where Rabibi's saying maybe you'll be able to negate the derabanan. But But in our case, in the case of the Kanaz, where it's a maybe, so maybe then we don't care about the fact that maybe will lead to Deoraisa. So how do you derive from the fact that they were able to make this Kanaz, which potentially could lead to the Deoraisa, that in Rabibi's case, where it definitely will lead to the Deoraisa, that we're not concerned? And it doesn't follow. That's the problem with that. Another discrepancy between the cases is, I'm not sure if this is relevant or not, but it is a discrepancy which I think should be explained, is that in Ravivi's case, you're talking about Nisa Darabana, which exists. Namely, you're not allowed to cut off the bread, you know? And now the question is, you have a funny case which happens to coincide with the potential Deraisa, right? Because the guy decided to do this on Shabbos. But in our case, Abaye's Kanas intrinsically is in a case where a guy puts his hand on the cross, you know. It's like the very Kanas itself has that built-in potential. You know what I mean? It's not just like a funny case that happens to come about. It's like the very Kanas itself has this, it's like an intrinsic problem in the Kanas itself. You know, I mean, I don't know what difference that would make, but it's interesting to know. It's interesting to know. So John and David are saying good. The thing is that I just want to say one more word. But the idea is that the question is the halachic shem geder a component of nesa d'rabanan or just the reason for nesa d'rabanan? Okay, and if you say that it's a component of the d'rabanan, then you have as follows. See, in our case, the knas of having his hand, that keeping his hand outstretched, it doesn't definitely cause a deraisa, like by the pas. But it is a michshol for the deraisa. Okay, which means it's like a stumbling block. It's will a guy be able to withstand the nisayon and keep his hand out there and hold on to it the entire Shabbos? Maybe he will, maybe he won't. But the idea is that the existence of that takana is a michshal. It's a stumbling block. It's a cause of a guy to violate. Maybe he won't. But that's the idea. Like, let me go see the michshal, for instance. He says, nisr of causing a stumbling block. And it's always, a guy can always, like, let's say you wave some sort of nisr in a guy's face. I mean, you're not causing him to do it. He can decide to do it, he cannot decide to do it. But that's an idea of a michshal. There's a situation which is a cause. It's a cause of the violation. Now, whether the guy will act on it or not, but halachically, the Rabbanan is a michshol on the Deoraisa. It's a cause. It's setting up a situation where the guy is omed to violate the Deoraisa. So if you're telling me that the very halachic character of the Rabbanan is that it's a gather for Deoraisa, so you couldn't have a Deoraisa which was a michshol on the Deoraisa, that too would be a contradiction to the Shema as a gather. Okay, not only if it definitely causes it, even if it's a mershal on the deraisa, that what kind of gather is that? It's a mershal on the deraisa. You know what I mean? So that also is going to be a problem. Okay, there's another point here, but so far so good. The problem, the fact that it's, in the case of Bibi, it's definite, in this case it's a probable, you see, that's good if you're looking at it like in a quantitative way, but if you look at the underlying concept in the Ubaya about whether or not the shame gather. Well, that's what the underlying concept in Rabbi's thing isn't just are we worried or whatever, but is the shem geder a halacha component of the thing? If it is, it doesn't matter on the probabilities because a mechshol is also a tard nisasri. It's also a tard nisasri. So the question is, Johnny asked the question is, so if you can tell me it's a mechshol, so then even if you don't hold that it's part of the halacha character of the Darabanan. But bottom line is, what are the Rabbanan doing? They're setting up a michshol? What kind of crazy system is this? Right, why should they do that? If you tell me it's a michshol and that's the character of the thing, then altogether what's going on? The Rabbanan are just setting up a constant michshol, but they say, oh, don't worry, because it's not the halachic character of the thing. But anyways, what kind of halacha is that? It gets kind of a marshal about it. Why are they making this whole thing? What kind of gedder is this? Even in terms of the reason of the... Even if you hold that the gedder isn't the halachic definition of the Darabana, but it is the reason for the Darabana, and it's only thing the Darabanans make is michshol, is gedder, gedarim. They don't make michshols. So what kind of thing? Why should they even do that? So it sounds like it's too strong. If it's really... What kind of Darabana is it altogether? In Tom, it's not a gedder either. So Ariel says... Well, it makes good sense, because it's true this guy who happens to violate the thing, or who happens to put his hand across, it's a nechshol for him. Because now he's stuck, he has an esdar about it, and it's a good chance he's going to drop it. Yeah, but the existence of this knas serves to prevent every single other guy in Klal Yisrael from putting his hand out there in the first place. The kiyum in this knas is not when the guy is knas, it's in the knowledge of the knas and the fact that people don't do it because of that knas. Just like Mises Bezdin. Mises Bezdin isn't there, so to speak, to kill people. Mises Bezdin is there to prevent people from doing the avera in the first place. As I say, we don't kill all people often. It's a rarity. But the function of Mises Bezdin is in the deterrent. The deterrence. We try to avoid the thing. So Ariel is saying is that here this is a very good knas. It's a very good gether. Because the gether is the way it's going to work is that it deters the guy in the first place. Now it's true in the unfortunate case that the guy isn't deterred, it turns out it's a mechshol. But in the overall picture, this is a very good gather. This is a very good gather. It makes perfect sense that they should make this kind of a thing. In that case, look, that's the breaks. And I'm going to say a runner of both neighbors at the Mishul because they set up a knas. And in that rare case, which the whole thing is trying to prevent, it turns out the guy is going to stumble. That's a perfectly no good activity to do. It would be like a guy gives a guy good advice, and it turns out something happens, and it ends up the guy stumbles. And that's not lefneiver. That's not lefneiver. Oh, so if that's the case, so now you can ask, well, now does that knock out the whole svara in the first place? Right? Because the whole svara in the first place was that this is a mechshol, and that's why this is very akin to Rabbi's thing, because if the shame gather is intrinsic, then you can't have a mechshol. But now we're saying it's not a mechshol. Now you're saying it's a very good idea, and it's a gather. No, so David's saying good. Is that there's a difference. There's a difference between the Rabbanon sitting down and deciding whether they should make a knas, in terms of the reasoning, and in the halachic character of the geder itself. See, because in terms of the reasoning, the Rabbanon have to weigh the factors. They'll say, if we make this knas, then there'll be 1,000 people who will be protected from violating this Rabbanon. But one guy will stumble over it. The one guy who isn't deterred is going to end up stumbling into a mechshol vis-a-vis him. So they're weighing out 1,000 protections versus one mechshol. So of course it's a good law, it's a good gezerah to make, or whatever the quantities are, they evaluate and make sense to make. It's a good gather, because they'll protect the 1,000 guys, and that one guy is going to end up stumbling. Okay, that's their consideration. Okay, so that's fine, there's nothing wrong with that. You can't say they're making a mistake, it's a good gezerah. But if you're telling me that the shame gather is intrinsic in the halachic definition of the Isser, protect the Torah through listening to the Rabbanon, you know, so then you simply can't, even in that one guy who it's a michshol, you can't say, what's he going to say? You have to keep your hand out there. Why? Because the Rabbanon say, protect the Torah through doing this. But that is a michshol. So halachically, that's a halachic contradiction. Even in that one guy, it's simply, you can't have that isser. That isser can't exist. See, there's a reason to make it. But if halachically, when I keep a Rabbanon, I am protecting the Torah through listening to Rabbanon, now right now it's a mechshol for me. So I'm on the contrary, listening to Rabbanon is causing me to stumble, to violate the Deraisa. So if you say that the halachic character of Nisr Rabbanon is as a geder, then even in that one case, it simply ceases, the law will cease to exist in that one case who the whole kenas is made for. So the whole thing's not going to be able to. You can't have that kenas. Because even that one guy, you can have a contradiction in the system, because it's a geder mechshol, which is a contradiction. So, but if you're just saying is that geder is the reason why they make it, so then it's a very good reason to make it. That one guy, okay, fine, that one guy, but you're protecting all the Shabbos, but all the Kali Yisrael for that one guy, whatever. He's an unfortunate casualty. But you can't say that if it's the halachic character of the law is the geder, then it's one case is a contradiction to the character of the law. Now you can't have the kenas altogether, because kenas means that guy can't do it. But that guy can't do it. That's a geder, but it's a geder mitzvah, which is a contradiction. So therefore, it's saying is the fact that the Gemara was willing to entertain that kenas, it must have held that the shame geder is not intrinsic in the halachic definition of a derabanan, and therefore they're not bothered by the mitzvah problem. So it must be, it's just a reason. Oh, so that's a poshet, that resolves in Rabbi Zebaya. It's very good, is because you don't have a svara for Rabbi Zebaya. Yeah, I don't think you can really, I'm sure, maybe try to, but I don't think you can really be able to answer this question, because the cases are not comparable. Because if you're just saying, are we concerned that the guy, you know, are we going to mati the Rabbanan to prevent the guy from violating the Deoraisa? Well, there's a difference between renting it from a definite violation and for a maybe violation. And they're different. So just because the Rabbanan are going to not be concerned about the maybe violation doesn't mean that they're not going to be concerned about the definite violation. They're different. I mean, you just can't jump from one to the other. But if you take this as svara for a bibi, which is it's a conceptual question if the shem geder is a halachic component of the derabanan, so now once you understand that concept, then it won't matter if it's definite or if it's just a mechshal. Either way, it's going to be a contradiction to the shem of a geder. You know what I mean? So I think it's, if you think qualitatively, conceptually, you see these cases are comparable. But if you don't have a definition, then you could always be mechalik. And how are you going to argue? You can't argue away that chiluk. I mean, you could say, no, maybe they're the same. Maybe they're different. Maybe they're not the same. You have to, I think with the concept that we came with to Rav Bibi, it comes out good. Okay, so let's just get the pattern here. So we have here this Ibaya. Rav Bibi's Ibaya is, do you knas the guy? Okay, the guy who puts his hand across the border, do you knas him and make him keep his hand there? Okay, do you make him keep his hand there? Yes or no? And the Gemara considered yes, no, depends, whatever. Okay? So now, the Gemara says, well, from this, the very question, the fact that the Gemara considered that you definitely could knas him, it must be that Rabibi is not an issue. Okay, it must be this Doraisa thing isn't an issue. So now the Gemara tries to say, so the first the Gemara says, Halo Kasha. Good hifshot. Okay, fine. So this proves Rabibi's Kasha. Like, why is that a Kasha? So what I was saying is, according to this Kasha, so now this should resolve Rabibi Zibaya. The Gemara says, okay, Nechanami, resolve Rabibi Zibaya, so fine. So what's the problem? Why is that a problem? It's no problem. Okay, fine. That's one hint, the Gemara says. It's funny what happened there, exactly. But, okay, fine. Let's leave that. Okay, so it's a Zibaya saying, I don't know what this is. Or you could say, no, I mean, really, it doesn't resolve it. Really, you could differentiate. Come back to the tip show thing. Is that, I guess, the Gemara, Rabibi is just, he's a man, he's no more. So I guess, there's nothing to say that everybody has to hold that Rabibi is Ibaya. Okay, there's nothing to say that. But in general, it's a better assumption, if one Amora asks an Ibaya and he just leaves it off, it would be smoother to say that that's an Ibaya that's just left as an Ibaya. No one knows the answer to it, it's just an open question. So in theory, the Gemara is saying is, so according to Abaya's whole question, so shouldn't this resolve Rabibi's Ibaya? You know what I mean? According, if it were possible. So the fact that Rabibi's Ibaya seems to be open, so shouldn't there's now somewhat of a problem? So the Gemara says, no, maybe you'll say Rabibi's Ibaya is Rabibi's Ibaya, but all the people in the base measures happen to not hold by Rabibi's Ibaya. In other words, you could say Rabibi was Dasi Yachid, but it's a move. You don't want, in other words, the Gemara's, you don't want to say that. You could say that, but it's, in general, you try to minimize machlokas. So you don't just assume a machlokas. So it's not asking it like a knockout kasha. It's just saying, so according to this, Rabibi's thing should have been, you know, I guess the Gemara assumed that Rabibi's kasha was just an open kasha. But it's saying, no, maybe it's not an open kasha. Maybe it's just Rabibi. Okay, so now the Gemara says, so again, you don't want to say it's Rabibi's personally Ibaya, but everyone's against. Then it's smoother to say that no, it's an open kasha. That's smoother. So the Gemara says it goes with that. It says, really, Ibaya is saying, well, no, Tifshal. Lo kasha kan b'shoge kan b'meza. Really, the chiluk here is, it depends if it's shoge or if it's meza. If the guy put his hand out b'shoge, or if the guy put his hand out b'meza. B'shoge lo kan surabon, b'meza kan surabon. So it depends when the guy did it b'shogeg, there's no knas. When the guy did it b'mezid, there is a knas. Okay, in other words, right. In other words, if the guy put his hand at b'shogeg, there's no knas. The guy put his hand at b'mezid, there's a knas. Okay, so now what? So now what? So now let's see what Rashi says. Rashi explains this a little bit. Okay, so it says b'shogeg lo k'tzurban. So now the question is, why doesn't this now impact on Rabibi? I mean, that's what the guy's trying to do here, is to show that you can't resolve Rabibi Zibaya from this case, from this halacha. Let's say from these brises, from this halacha about Rabibi Zibaya, about Abaya Zibaya. Because see, Abaya's knas does exist by Mezid, and it doesn't exist by Shogi. Okay, because in theory you can still say, oh, you see it exists by Mezid, so what about Rabibi? I mean, it's not clear how did that go away. You know what I mean? Okay, so he says like this. Udurbibi lo tifshet mehachal olis olatha. You can't prove either way in Rabbi Zibaya from this halach. The high belokan su b'shogeg. Lav mishum chashashu dem lashadi le miyadeo. And it's because you may say, oh, why are we konesim b'shogeg? Because we're worried about Rabbi. No, 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 that's not true. Why are we not konesim b'shogeg? Ela mishum de lo avirisur b'meza. The reason why we're not konesim b'shogeg is not because Rabbi. Forget Rabbi. The reason why we're konesim b'shogeg is because he didn't do any avera b'meza. Funny. V'chazoros yado eino afilu shvos. He lo mishum kenasa. And pulling his hand back isn't even a shvos. It's only a kanas. It's funny, why is he mentioning a shvos? A shvos didn't do this, but whatever. So this whole thing is only a shvos, is only a kanas. And since it's shogeg, he didn't do anything there or anything mazid. So therefore, we're not going to kanas him. And that's why there's no isur darabanan, there's no kanas by shogeg. Not because we're worried about Rabbi Bibi's problem. Avol radios hapas shvosu v'nigzer b'menyan. So that's a shvos. It was made with the real bezdin. And just in order to protect the guy from violating the deraisa, when they're not going to be mevatel, they're gezera. It's not clear exactly what's going on here. I mean, what's he talking about? Why is he getting into this whole thing? Okay, but essentially, on the most basic level, besides what the shvus problem is saying, is that by shogeg, we're not making. The reason why it's mutter to pull your hand back shogeg is not because it should be asur, but we're worried about Rabibi, and therefore we say you're allowed to bring your hand back. But the reason why is because there's simply no kanas. The whole thing here is a kanas, and a kanas, we're not going to make honest the guy if he's b'shogeg. Okay, fine. So okay. So ul isur. What about the mezid? If you do mezid, there is a kanas. So why are you worried about Rabibi there? So doesn't it show you that you don't care about Rabibi? It says no ul isur nami lo tifshet, and you can't resolve Rabibi zibaya le isur to say that you're not worried about this. The consum made it. Why? The hasam like all meichas still molestinu. She is chayv mitzvahs bezdin. He says, what are you going to say? That if you guys make the guy a knas, let's say he puts his hand up and makes it. Now you're going to konis the guy and say you have to keep your hand out there. So what are you going to say? He's not going to listen to you and he's going to drop it. He's going to be chayv mitzvah. He's going to be stoned if he puts his hand out. So the guy's going to be able to keep his hand up. I mean, you could say that the guy, if the guy did a bishogeg, then I could see arguing that by you forcing him to keep his hand there, he's going to be lazy, he's going to put his hand down, he's going to violate nisad deraisa bishogeg, and we don't want a guy to violate nisad deraisa. But if they were talking about the guy did a bimezid, then by him being laxier and then putting his hand down, he's going to end up being chayav mitzvahs bezdin. Now, that's never going to happen. The guy's not going to violate this. He's going to basically keep his hand up. I mean, if there's a guy with his gun to his head and said, if you put your hand down, you're going to end up, we're going to shoot you, then the guy's going to, he's not going to put his hand down. I mean, it just, if it's only shogeg, he'll start being a little whatever. So he says, Avalacha, you can't see him, he learned this, like carpet slime, he's supposed to be. You can't say the Beredias Apas, because Beredias Apas, if he listens to the Rabban, it's definitely going to violate the Deraisa. It's not totally, it's not up to it. It's not subject to his own decision. So then we really are worried that he can't have this Derabbanan because it's going to cause him to violate the Deraisa. But he's saying it's by the Kanas case, by Mezid, it's not going to cause him to violate the Deraisa. If you had the Kanas by Shogeg, then you could have really, then you could have proven it. Because by shogeg, the guy really may drop it. So if you were kones by shogeg, it would show you're not concerned that the guy's going to violate the deraisa. I mean, but by shogeg, you don't have the kanas. But so you'll say maybe that proves that we're not concerned about Rabibi. That we're worried about Rabibi's problem. So no, maybe says the reason why you're not kones is because of by shogeg is because he didn't do anything. He didn't do anything b'mezer. So there's no reason to kanas the guy. So that's his answer. It seems like from the pshat is that originally, I mean, it's funny, it's like bringing in a new point here. There's like a new fact here. He's saying, and it seems to be a good fact, is that if the guy violates the Isser and Bemezid, he's not going to drop it by accident. You know, or he's not going to be lazy and drop it because he's going to be stoned. And that's a good enough deterrent to prevent the guy, you know. Probably that what was originally what was the Gemara thinking, you know what I mean? I mean, it seems like originally the Gemara was assuming the Kanas would even be by shogeg. Seems like originally more than assuming the kanas even by shogeg. If the kanas were by shogeg, then you have a raya. Because by shogeg, you don't have this deterrent of stoning the guy. So basically, the guy is going to end up dropping it. There's a good chance he'll drop it. It's a mechshol, and therefore you have a raya. See, that proves a baby's thing. But the maskan is, no, there's no kanas by shogeg. So by mezid, there's no mechshol, because the guy's not going to drop it. He'll be stoned. By shogeg, There would have been a mishnah, but there's no kanas mishnah. So it seems to me there's some sort of question here, whether or not the kanas, this kanas is even by shogeg, you know, is even by shogeg, or it's only by mezid. You know? I mean, I think that's something we should consider here. I think also we should think about what's Rashi doing here with this shvos. I mean, he's talking a lot about shvos. Like the Rashi, if you take out the whole shvos part, the Rashi would read smoothly. And for some reason, he's mixing in this shvos thing, which is not clear what he's going for. But obviously, there's something in this picture that we don't know about. We don't understand. Because if we were just explaining it simply, he just shouldn't be talking about that stuff. It just doesn't belong. So there's something going on here, more than meets the eye. So let's try to get that. Try to figure what's going on. You know, what's this whole issue? The more about it afterwards, going to say it's a machlokas, whether a kohen is shogeg or mezid. We'll get into that, but let's take it slow. Any of these questions, let's just try to crack this Rashi. Hopefully, I should be good for tomorrow. I mean, for the most part, tomorrow should be good.